Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Welcome to Elder Care Radio this fine Wednesday morning.
It's a little bit hotter than it has been.
Yeah, it's getting warmer. This is good outdoor weather, though. How about you, Andy? You getting outdoors much?
I'm still on the injured reserve because of my foot.
So, oh, okay, yeah.
I can't do anything, really, basically.
You can sit on park benches.
Yeah, and I've done that. sit out and watch everyone else have fun. It's really cool.
Yeah. Watch grandkids, kids play games and sports. It's fun.
Yeah. It is, and things are opening up, and people are, you know, out doing stuff, and we're able to see faces now on occasion and enjoy conversations, so that's all good.
Yeah, I saw in the news this morning that even Las Vegas opened a few of their hotels and casinos, 100%. They're completely open.
Yeah, so...
Not that I'm encouraging everybody to go, you know,
let's
gamble.
Go gamble. No.
I just thought that was surprising because they really had a tight lockdown.
They did.
Las Vegas really hammered everybody too. So it's good that things are opening up. People are getting back to work and finding purpose in life, and those are all good things.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was at an event yesterday where there were probably 60 people in attendance. And yes, we were trying to somewhat social distance, and where, you know, most people had masks on. But for the most part, it felt very comfortable. But at least 20 of those people stood up and said, we need employees. We have a lot of jobs available and not enough employees to fill them. So if you know anyone, you know, let me know. I just thought that was a really positive proof of our improvement.
Yep. So today I've got to bring up some somewhat embarrassing, you know, these are things you don't really want to.
Embarrassing, but it's important to say it because it's such an honor.
Yeah. So we just received notice yesterday that we'd been selected as best in the city for hospice care.
All right.
We didn't know that we were in the running or that there was even an award, but they actually sent us notice. And
we didn't know that anybody was doing that.
So we really appreciate it. And certainly since we didn't know, we didn't have any opportunity to, you know, stuff the ballot box or anything like that.
Get a Dominion voting machine.
Right.
We didn't have any of that. We're not prepared.
We had no opportunity to cheat that.
That's right. So it is, you know, it is really an honor. We know that, you know, there are companies that go out there and try and build those ratings and get people to, you know, post positive reviews and stuff. And that is just not us. I mean, we're not in it for the glory and the notoriety. We're just in it to provide better care for everybody. So it is a little bit embarrassing to point those things out. But
five-star reviews are still really, really important.
Yeah. And, I mean, if that's done reasonably, I mean, if it's done honestly, that's a good term, then it is a good way for the community to find out, you know, to make some choices. So, but there are, this week, we did have some more information that it's much more important to us. And so Kaylee's got a couple of examples.
I do. Are you talking about the nice letters that we received?
Yeah, you know, sometimes you go weeks without knowing anything, but now this week.
Yeah, sometimes it's interesting. You know, we've been in business now, 4 years? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's sometimes, you know, you can, I mean, families really, really appreciate you, and they express their words and are, you know, really appreciative of everything that you do for them. But we don't always, and I'm guilty of it too, we don't always take time to go in and write a review, or to, you know, write a review on Yelp or Google or on Facebook or what have you. But this week, it was kind of crazy. We ended up with 4 or 5 of them all in the same week.
Yeah, and cards.
We got letters and cards, and some of the patients had passed as long as 2 years ago, and they were still, said this is long overdue, but the messages were sweet. We got 3 accolades in obituaries in the last few weeks. And of course, that doesn't always happen either. People don't always think to mention, the caregivers in their obituaries, because it's usually about the patients. But it was just really nice. It made us feel really, really good.
Mm-hmm. And
we appreciate that.
We've had some great experiences with families, and that's more than we could have asked for, getting involved with this, you know, being part of their lives and experiencing a lot of joys that might have been missed otherwise. But then to, you know, have them come back later and thank us, that's, you know, that's kind of over the top for us. We're just, you know, we want people to have a good experience, and that's more important to us than all the rest of it.
So. Yeah, I think it's important to say that the reality is that we are far more blessed by our experiences. It is a privilege and an honor, and I really don't have the words to say how much we appreciate the invitation to help support you in this very difficult time. And it's actually, this is going to sound weird, but it's actually exciting for us to come in and find ways that you never even thought of that we can help you and reduce stresses and help pick up the burdens to make your life easier. It actually gives us this real sense of joy that we were able to accomplish that. And then when we're able to sneak little nice little tidbits of things in there that you just know by the family's reactions, you've just really brought them overwhelming joy. That part of it almost feels like we're little cruise directors creating these events that, you know, will last a lifetime. And it's fun for us. We love it. And, we love it.
And it's a unique industry to be in the fact that for those people we serve, it costs them nothing. You know, it's not like you have to pay huge amounts of money to go on the cruise. You know, if you qualify, it's free all the way around. And in fact, it saves you money on everything that you're dealing with before.
And I want you all out there to know that we only hire the very, very best. And you have no idea how many interviews we will go through to handpick very, very special, special people. Every one of our staff members are like family, and we all think the same way. We really just want this entire experience to be about you, not about us and what we get out of it and how much money we're going to make, but it's all about you. We weed out the, you know, wheat and the tares for that. We really look for those people that want to bring good experiences and do this from their heart with compassion and love for their those that we serve. In fact, one of the letters came yesterday, and I took a picture of it, screenshotted it, and sent it out to all of our staff. And I said, I love our team. I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much. And every single staff member responded with something like, oh, it was more of a blessing to me than them. And, oh, I'm so happy they, you know, felt our love. And I mean, just every one of our employees felt it was more about the patient than themselves. And I love that. Those are the kind of people you want to work with. So we feel blessed to have been such a great community, blessed to be welcomed into your home, blessed to have such incredible staff, nurses and CNAs and massage therapists, and our physical therapist is the best in town. And we have the best group of people in this entire industry working for us, and we feel honored.
And the way we go about it isn't the way that some people would feel comfortable with, because where, you know, instead of having just a pre-programmed, yes, I've got, you know, X number of hours that I'm going to work, and, you know, that this might be a good thing for somebody to consider. You know, if you have a hospice experience, you know, if there are two people that you recognize coming into your house regularly for hospice, that's the bare minimum that Medicare requires, two, a nurse. And if you see them every other week, then they are providing you that bare minimum care, and a CNA who should help with some ADLs.
Andy, activities of daily life.
That's right. Activities of daily life.
I've learned.
That's right. Maybe helping you bathe or things like that. And if that happens once a week or twice a week for an hour or maybe three times a week for an hour, if that's what you've seen, then that is what Medicare's minimum standard is. But that's not the kind of care that we want to provide. We want to bring just a rich variety of care that covers a lot more than the bare minimum that Medicare provides.
Can I tell you one story, which was doesn't happen all the time, but we had a family call us. It was a gentleman call us at 4:30 a.m. because he got up in the night to help his wife, and he realized just really how difficult it was to help her, and how many struggles he was having throughout the day. And at 4:30 in the morning, he called and said, I think I waited too long. My wife's really not doing well, and I'm desperate for help. You know, when can somebody come out and evaluate her? And he said, I understand it's Sunday morning and it's 4:30 a.m., but can somebody come Monday? Can I tell you, I sent a text out, not really expecting to get a lot of response.
At 4:30 in the morning.
At 4:30 a.m. 4:30 a.m. And he wasn't, he said, you know, can somebody come out Monday? If it was an emergency, we would have ran out anyway, but immediately. But in this instance, he said, can somebody come out Monday? I sent a text out. Two nurses responded immediately. They heard the pings on their phone and they said, I'll jump up and go out there right now and help them. Can you believe that? So by 5:15, two nurses were at his door helping him with his wife. And she had had, you know, an accident and some issues come up, and they helped clean her up and get her all ready, and they did their evaluation. And actually, we called our medical director about 9 a.m. and gave him all the statistics, and she said, put her on. And we had her on by 7 a.m. that morning. So it's good.
So
caring for her. And yeah.
Yeah, and we don't use an answering service, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
Those calls will go directly to us.
Yeah, yeah. No delays. They come right to us.
24/7.
But I just thought that was such a woohoo for our staff. Yeah. And we felt, again, you know, honored that somebody felt that they could reach out in their time of need and call us no matter what time of day it was. It was nice.
Yeah, and so if somebody has a need that doesn't fit our time schedule, we'll adjust the time schedule because we want to make sure that we're providing that care. So those are all exciting things. And I guess enough, you know, patting ourselves on the back. That's just so you know, that's very uncomfortable for us.
I get so excited when we're able to, you know, help people.
So let's do some COVID good news. What do you think?
Oh, yes.
Okay. COVID good news. Let's say if you've had the vaccine, you have a 95% to 100% chance of that if you're infected by the virus, you won't end up in a hospital and you certainly won't die from it. That's a good thing.
Great news.
If you haven't gotten the vaccine, there are no longer waiting lists. You can pretty much get it on demand. So,
and they keep lowering the age. Right now it's at 16. And I heard on the news this morning that they're planning on having the age as low as 2 years old for the vaccine within just a couple of months.
Yep.
Within a week or so, it'll be 12 to 16 allowed as well.
Dropping it to 12.
So if you're looking to get a vaccine for your kids, that should be available fairly soon.
Right. I guess the outcome of that or the point of that is if you want to get the vaccine, you have every opportunity to do so. If you want to wear the mask, you certainly can. So nobody really should be in fear anymore because you have a way to protect yourself, whatever that way is for you. If you're comfortable going without a mask and you haven't been vaccinated, welcome to America. That's what makes America great.
And even
if you haven't been vaccinated, the transmission rate here in Southern Utah is far lower than it's been in the past. For many months, Southern Utah had rates as high. That were high. But today, Kane, Garfield, and Beaver County are very low with 1 to 6 cases in the last 14 days.
That's right. And, you know, they used to count new cases on a daily basis, and now we're counting them by the fortnight. So that's, and let me just say for you young whippersnapper generation out there, the word fortnight is not necessarily a video game. It actually means 14 days.
There is that video game.
Yeah, well, and then for, you know, the more mature of us, the ones who've had an opportunity to build some real character.
Like a fine wine.
Fortnite is the name of a video game. So don't get those confused.
Right.
But they're counting them in 14-day increments now. It used to be new cases per day. Now it's looking at a 14-day window at cases. So that tells us something. You know, they've had to change the benchmark in order to track it. It's gotten to be that good.
So, Andy, I have a question for you. How do you feel with the vaccine available, with masks still available and an option, not feeling silly walking into a store with a mask if you want to wear it? How do you feel about where we should be today? Should we be comfortable and confident in, you know, going back to a normal life? How do you feel about that?
Oh, be careful. That's a whole show we
could
do.
Oh, that's a loaded question.
Let me just say this. I never in my life felt threatened by COVID-19.
Right.
I didn't get it. I am now vaccinated. So, but a lot of people say, well, why, if you never got it, why would you get it? Why would you get the vaccine? But I don't feel like it's a factor in my life or my family's life.
Well, and I think the question would be, if you did get it, why did you get vaccinated? Now, let me just say that
good question.
On this side of the thing, we aren't really political on this.
Right. We aren't. And as healthcare workers, the vaccine was made available to us before anyone else. So, we didn't have to have the same fears that other people had.
Right.
But
we know there's a lot of politics that gets involved in that, and that's fine. Everybody can have that conversation.
But I just feel like since it's all available now, mm-hmm. that there shouldn't be fear.
Right. Sure.
Going throughout the community and spending time with our loved ones and our friends and really doing anything that you want to again. I mean, really, even if you're sitting in a movie theater or some, event, or like us at my daughter's graduation last Friday.
That's
woohoo!
Right.
Graduated from SUU.
Nice.
On to med school now. Very excited for her. But there's no fear, because if you're uncomfortable, you can wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
But you've had every opportunity by this time to have a vaccination if you, were in fear of COVID.
And let me
so
just
there
throw
really
out,
is no reason to fear anymore.
Let me just clarify one point, and that is that the CDC and the World Health Organization, when it comes to masks, have always held social distancing at 6 feet is enough. And if you can't social distance, then a mask would be an option.
Probably the least understood rule in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
6 feet's enough.
It's not both. It's one or the other.
And
yeah.
even the 6 feet was based upon a theory of spread, not mm-hmm. upon anything provable.
Right.
Well, and I know this is a little divergence, but the Clean Hands Save Lives movement was an old, old movement. And if you read that by the CDC and the World Health Organization, it actually says washing your hands with soap and water is first, and only using alcohol-based sanitizers is secondary, because we also build up an intolerance or superbugs. So this whole thing just kind of took this different approach to fear. It took
on a life of its own, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, all the extremism about it just got ridiculous. But I hope now we can overcome that extremism and everybody become reasonable again. And again, I don't think anybody should force somebody else to make a decision. Make your own decision for yourself and then allow. Now, if you are concerned for other people and somebody's not wearing a mask, then don't get within 6 feet of them.
And or wear a mask.
Yeah, and or wear a mask. Those are your choices.
Right.
I don't think you have to get up in front of somebody, right in their face and say, hey, you're not wearing a mask, and start yelling and spitting and screaming. And
right. Having a tantrum. But I do have some more good news, COVID good news statistics.
Okay.
Washington and Iron County, we are still moderate, but the standard to get low is less than 15 cases in 14 days. Woohoo! And when we have a combined population of 250,000, 15 cases would be extremely low. It has remained true that without a vaccine, there is still a 99.75% recovery rate for those known cases and 100% recovery rate for all those that went untracked or undetected.
That's right.
Some also known as asymptomatic.
Either asymptomatic or they just
or
stayed
you
home.
Didn't get it.
That's right. They weren't tested, so they don't end up on the statistics, other than we know that they didn't pass away from it. Okay. So hospitalizations are down across the state from last week, and they've been falling for quite some time. And so those are just, some of the great things. There's one other about hospitalizations, and this is important. And right now in all of southern Utah, there are only 10 people in the hospital through all five counties that have tested positive for COVID.
And zero in the ICU.
And yeah. Zero in the ICU. And those that tested positive probably weren't there for COVID.
We can't say probably. We don't know if they were there for COVID, but they did test positive for COVID when they were in the hospital. So
yeah, and everybody gets tested going to the hospital, so
yeah.
They may
so
be in there for...
some of those may have been asymptomatic and still ended up at the hospital.
They might have shown up for a broken leg, but they may have been tested positive. So,
or heart attack.
All the fear that was out there that, the hospitals were going to be overrun, I think we can now agree that that's not going to happen. So
that is happening in India, but not here. So
yes.
We don't need to fear here.
Right.
So all of whom are tested regularly, there are only 10 that have tested positive at least once.
in all of the five county Southern hospitals.
So. Right now. So that's the end of our COVID good news, and that was a fun conversation.
All right. So last week we started talking about complementary and alternative medicine, or complementary and alternative therapies. The acronym for that, Andy, just for your dictionary, is CAM or CAT.
Or CAT. Yes. I remember that from last week.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we wanted to kind of touch on some of those. Again, when we're looking at finding solutions for people, people respond differently to different stimulus. And if we were looking at, you know, any disease or illness that exists out there, and we were hoping that there was some 100% solution, generally there's not. There are a number of solutions that can be applied, and the combined benefit of those may reach 100%, or it may reach, you know, a lesser number, but it's still better than doing less. So we just kind of wanted to break down the different categories of these and give you some things to think about. So there's what is considered traditional alternative medicine, and that would be medical theories and processes that came from different parts of the world.
Like acupuncture, yeah. Or maybe treatments with spices, teas, herbs.
Yeah, Chinese vitamins, oriental medications.
Those kind of
right?
things, yeah.
Ayurveda, I'm sure we're all familiar with Ayurveda.
Oh, sure. Sure, we've all heard of that.
And that is the medical theory that comes from India. Again, tying into herbs and spices and lifestyle. Homeopathy and naturopathy. I'm going to say many of these words wrong just because, you know.
Homeopathy, I think.
Yeah. So those are the traditional ones that have to do with a lot of spices and herbs, but that's not the only section that exists. There's also a number of things that have to do with body and touch. So if we're looking at those kind of things, whether that's chiropractic, I think we're all familiar with that, or osteopathic medicine, which is significantly different but has some of the same things. Massage, we know that massage has a great impact on many things. You know, it can be pain, it can be weakness, those options.
But let me expand on massage. So our massage therapists actually have training in lymph drainage. So they treat lymphedema. They do cranial massages, which helps with headache, pain, and nausea, and actually can do some, you know, have an impact on your balance and vertigo. So,
well, let me go back and cover some of those terms. Lymphedema, that is swelling in our extremities, where our system doesn't get rid of fluids anymore, and so gravity just kind of holds them down at our feet. Or, you know, even in our hands. And so there are massages that can help move that fluid. Certainly, if you suffer from lymphedema, you've been told to elevate your feet, you know, get that up so that you have natural drainage. But that doesn't necessarily work completely. But for the people who have had lymphatic massage, I think you'll agree that it helps move that fluid back up into your body, and then your body can get rid of it instead of it just sitting there. So that's an important thing. And the other one you mentioned, massage. You know, there are just so many options.
Cranial massage,
right.
Yeah, and manipulation.
Right.
So one of our staff members was suffering from a shoulder injury and was in constant pain, and she was scheduled for shoulder surgery. She had numerous doctors and her husband that worked at a large medical facility here in town, and she had
a lot of doctors.
Injections and all kinds of things. And just with a simple manipulation from our DO, one of our medical directors, Dr. Judy Caldwell, she is completely pain-free today. But I got the 1 minute, and I just realized we haven't said our name, our telephone number, our web address, so take it away, Richard.
Okay.
Who are we?
We thank you for listening today. This is Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, hosting the Elder Care Radio program. Our telephone number, which we answer 24/7, that'll be either Kaylee or I'll be answering, 435-477-6999. Our website is pathwayhospicecare.com. Our address is 446 South Mall Drive. If you want to come visit us, we'd love to see you. We always look forward to hearing from people.
So just remember, we are kind of your one stop. If you have any questions or need resources or direction, there's no cost to give us a call. We'd love to help you find those resources. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, 435-477-6999. Thanks. Bye-bye.